Morning.
What I have today.
I brought a stick. Actually, this is a branch.
Doesn't look like a branch,
but it is a branch. What, can you see that? What's happening to the leaves on there? They're dying. Dagnabbit. I cut this branch off because I liked it, because it looked nice. And now the leaves are dying. Why are the leaves dying? Because I cut it off the tree. So you cut a branch off and it dies. Eventually, like right now, it's still kind of flexible. Eventually, it's going to become brittle and easy to break too. Jesus used an example of a branch. He says it's a vine, right? He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And he's thinking of a grapevine, because a lot of the branches on a grapevine would grow apples. And so, oh no, you're right. They don't grow apples. What do they grow? Grapes. Yeah, they grow grapes. Okay, so the branches on a grapevine are going to grow a bunch of grapes. And he says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will have much fruit, right? But apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we are not connected, it's a fantastic example. If we're not connected, like just like this branch needs to stay connected to the tree in order to keep growing and for the leaves not to die. And if we don't stay connected to Jesus, then the same will happen to us. We'll end up like this branch where the leaves start dying, becomes brittle. And well, eventually though, it won't be flexible anymore. Eventually it's going to become brittle and break, and it's not going to be good for anything except for thrown into the wood fire, right? And that's about all this branch is going to be good for. It's not even much good for making anything out of it. So it's important that we remain in Christ, and we do that. I know I sound like a broken record, but we do that through study of the word. We do that through spending time in prayer. We do that through staying connected for the accountability and fellowship of the church. And it's very important that we do those things to stay connected to Jesus. And I'm going to turn it over to Fred to take it further. All right.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 15, if you will, please. John 15. It's good to see everybody here. We do have some visitors with us today. Glad that you're able to visit with us today. Stick around a little bit. Let's get to know you a little bit better. We're still doing the I Am series and concluding that series today. But I want you to look at John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1. In John 15, verse 1, Jesus said that I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Now, this is the last of the I Am statements that Jesus makes as recorded by the Apostle John. And Jesus, to kind of set the setting here, Jesus is still speaking to his disciples who had gathered in the upper room the day before his crucifixion. To eat the Passover meal at which Jesus Christ introduced the Lord's Supper. And only 11 of the disciples are there at this time. Judas has not remained. He's out betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And as Jesus prepares the disciples for his departure, he wants them to understand how imperative it is for them to continue to remain in him, even though he will not be with them physically. And that's when Jesus affirms that I am the true vine. Now, the imagery of Jesus as being the true vine may not strike us as anything special. But to a first century Jew, that was a very impactful statement. Because in the Old Testament, when the imagery of a vine was used, always referred to God's people as the vine. The nation of Israel was the vine. In fact, the psalmist writes in Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, he says, "You, God, brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root, and it filled the land." I mean, Israel is the vine that God had planted in the promised land, expecting it to grow and thrive and bear fruit to be a blessing to the people. But God's hope for Israel did not produce the good fruit that he wanted or expected. And so in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, the prophet writes about everything that God had done for his people to prepare them to be fruitful. I mean, the scripture talks about how, like a farmer, he found some fertile ground, and then he dug it up, and he cleared all the stones from the field, and then he planted, you know, good vines in the field, cultivating, protecting it, nurturing the vines. And if a nation had a chance to succeed, it would be Israel. If there's only one nation that could succeed, it would be Israel. In fact, God asked in Isaiah 5, verse 4, he says, "What more could I have done for you? What more could I have done that I've already done? And when I looked for good grapes, all I saw was bad fruit, only bad." So instead of good fruit, the Lord found only injustice and unrighteousness. And so Isaiah continues in verse 7, Isaiah 5, verse 7. He said, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight." So God delights in the vine. But then it says, "And he looked for justice, but all he saw was bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, and all he heard were cries of distress." I mean, Israel had turned away from the one and only true God to idols that led to immorality, corruption, injustice, and even the sacrifice of their own children to their false gods. And so God, speaking through Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said in Jeremiah 2, verse 21, he said, "I have planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. And how then did you turn against me? How did you turn against me into a corrupt, wild vine?" So where we read in the Old Testament, and in many of Jesus' parables, of Jesus being the vine, the vineyard, it's most often used negatively in the context of God's judgment. And so when the disciples of Christ heard this word vine, immediately they think of the nation of Israel. And then God says, Israel blew it. They blew it. And then comes Jesus just hours before his crucifixion, and he says to his chosen disciples, "I am the true vine." So I want us to take a look at this text. We're going to dig right into it. And we're going to be, man, I hope you got your Bibles with you, okay? Because we're going to be looking at a lot of passages today. But I want us to begin with, first of all, that Jesus is the true vine. Say this with me. Jesus is the true vine. Now, since the nation of Israel failed as God's vine, the Father planted a new vine, the true vine. And this claim, I mean, this claim that of Jesus, that he is the true vine, I mean, that would really be scandalous. I mean, nobody would claim to be the true vine. But he is saying that he is the faithful and true Israel. And where the people of Israel failed to produce the fruit of God, Jesus succeeded. And when the people of Israel fell short of God's righteous requirements, Jesus succeeded. And though Israel bungled up the mission to be a blessing to all the nations, Jesus will succeed in doing that as well. Jesus had come to do what no nation and no person was able to do for themselves. He had entered this banner of failure that was Israel, and brought about by Israel, and is saying, "I've now got this. I'm taking over because I am the true vine. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the true vine? Amen? So here is Jesus as the true vine. And however, as the true vine, Jesus does not exist only for himself. Because he has connected his followers to the vine. He says in verse 5, in John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you, disciple, you are the branches. And although these words were directed to his chosen apostles who were Jews, Jesus doesn't have only the people of Israel in mind, but you and me and all believers throughout the world. And using a metaphor of an olive tree, Paul told the Gentile Christians at Rome in Romans 11, verse 11, that they were like wild olive branches grafted into the stock of a healthy tree, replacing branches that were cut off who were the unbelieving Jews. And although Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus planted his church to produce the fruit that Israel failed to produce. Now I want you to think about this. God had a vineyard before, but the people of Israel did not produce. And yet God didn't get out of the vineyard business. Instead, he sent his son to be the true vine, and then he grafted us into him so that you and me, so that we can share in his life. And just like a useless branch can be cut off, so a branch from elsewhere can be grafted in. We are Gentiles by birth. And when Paul, in fact, calls us wild olive branches, that's who we are. I mean, we didn't have, nor did we deserve, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now we are included in Christ, and as long as we remain in Christ, we will be fruitful. Okay? As long as we remain in Christ. In fact, Jesus goes on to say in the latter part of verse 5, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Say this with me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, within ourselves, we are dead and unproductive of anything good. And without him, we are fit only for the burn pile. Just like the branch that Ben was showing us earlier. But as long as we are joined to Christ, we are connected to his spirit and his vitality, and the results will be good fruit. Amen? That's what will happen. But then secondly, we see here that Jesus is the true vine. But secondly, God is the gardener. Say that with me. God is the gardener. Now, God is the vineyard owner. Okay? It belongs to him. And he first planted the nation of Israel, but the vineyard did not produce the fruit that God wanted from his people. And so he sent his son to be the true vine through whom the church will sprout and grow and be fruitful. God will be able to accomplish through his church what Israel was unable to do, to be a blessing to all the nations, both Jews and Gentiles. And all who faithfully connected to the true vine are united in Christ. I want you to keep your Bibles marked at John 15. But I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And I want us to look at verses 25 through 29. Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 29. Jesus, to the Galatian church, said this. He said, you are sons of God, children of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized, immersed into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. So in order to be clothed with Christ, we have to be baptized in Christ. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I mean, we are no longer Jews and Gentiles. We are now only Christians. That's who we are. We are Christians. And the Father deeply cares for the branches. And he wants us to be fruitful. But to ensure that the branches on the vine will be fruitful, our Father, as the gardener, must take some difficult actions. Cutting off the dead and pruning the living. Going back to John chapter 15. In verse 2, Jesus said, "The Father, as the gardener, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit." And so this is what God does. But so what does he do? First of all, it says here that God, the Father, cuts off the branches that are not bearing fruit. Okay? They're not bearing fruit. And so we see here that after exhorting his disciples, and look at verse 6. After exhorting his disciples to remain in Christ, he goes on to say, he said, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." So here we see that if there are useless branches that are no longer or never have produced fruit, then Jesus said they are going to be cut off from the vine and they will be thrown away into the fire. Now, grape producers refer to these branches that are cut off from the vine as sucker shoots. They're called sucker shoots. And according to these vineyards or vine dressers, if these branches are allowed to continue to grow, they would dissipate the life of the vine, causing it to produce little to no fruit. And so for the sake of the vine and the sake of the fruitful branches, the sucker branches are cut off and thrown into the fire. Now this is important for us to understand because we are branches connected to the vine. Am I right about that, brothers and sisters? We are connected to the vine. So how then do Christ's disciples as the branches become unfruitful? Well, the Bible talks about two ways. Firstly, there are those who claim to be Christians who went through the motions of confessing their faith in Jesus and being baptized, you know, being dunked, but never truly connected to the vine by committing their lives to the Lord. I mean, there are those who say, "I'm a Christian," but yet they're truly not living the life of Christ. And I want you to listen to how Jesus describes these so-called disciples. You don't have to turn over there. But in Matthew chapter 7, and the closing remarks of Jesus in the Sermon about, Jesus said this, Matthew 7, verses 15 and following. He says, "I want you to watch out for your false prophets." Those false prophets, people who claim to be disciples, but they really are not disciples. I mean, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. He said, "By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." And then he goes on to say, talking about Judgment Day, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then he said, did we not do all these good works for you? I mean, look at all the good things that we've done for you, Lord. And then he would say, then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evil doer. So Jesus says there are those who claim to be Christians. They went through the motions, and yet they are not truly Christians. They're not truly Christians at all. And he says they were going to be removed, cut off from the vine, and thrown to the fire. But then secondly, there are those Christians who connected to the vine when they gave their lives to Jesus Christ in baptism, who simply did not remain in Christ. They didn't remain in Christ. I mean, when Jesus exhorted his disciples to remain in him, it stands to reason that one then, a Christian, who can be connected to Christ, but then for some reason choose to leave him, choose to no longer remain in him. I want you to listen to what Peter says about such Christians. In 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, listen to what Peter says. He says, if they have escaped the corruption of the world, talking about those who have given their lives to Christ, they turned away from the world, turned their life to Jesus. He said, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled into the world and overcome by the world, they are worse off at the beginning, at the end, than they were from the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, not to have even become a Christian, than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. I mean, what Jesus is saying here, what Peter is saying, that there can be those who truly gave their life to Jesus, but then they walk away. They turn away from Christ and they return to the world. He says, and of those, he said, it's worse off for them to have even become a Christian. It's been better for you not to even become a Christian than to become one and walk away. They too will be cut off from the vine and thrown into the fire. But what about the branches that are producing fruit? I mean, that's you and me. What about us? What about us who are producing fruit? Well, God the gardener prunes us. Again in verse 2 says, every branch that does bear fruit, I mean these are the fruitful branches, every branch that does bear fruit, the Father prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. And so if we're not bearing fruit, they're going to be cut off and cast into the fire. If we're bearing fruit, we're going to be pruned. We're going to be pruned. And it seems strange to us to prune a healthy, fruitful branch, you know, to cut it back. And yet the gardener knows that by pruning the branch, removing what is bad, and strengthening the good, ultimately it will bear more fruit. Church, God knows what we need better than we do. He knows what we need. I mean, we may be satisfied with the little fruit that we're producing. I'm satisfied with that. You know, I'm producing some fruit. But then God comes along and says, Christian, you can do and be better than that. You can do and be better. And then he starts the pruning process. You know, allowing hardship to prompt us to change direction in life. Putting challenges before us to cause us to lean upon Him and not on our own strength. Placing us in situations that replace our arrogance with humility. I mean, God says, I've got something better for you, something that needs to be done, but I've got to cut you back. I've got to prune you first. And pruning is not easy. How many of you have ever been pruned? Will you raise your hand? Okay, only five of you? Okay. Now, believe me, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you have been pruned. You have been pruned. And pruning is not easy thing to go through, but the Hebrew writer said the Lord does it because He loves us. In fact, he goes on to say in Hebrews 12, verses 10 to 11, he says, God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. And no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Can we get an amen there? Amen. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so Father the gardener is going to cut off those branches that are not producing fruit. And those who are, man, He's going to prune us. So if you haven't been pruned yet, get ready. Because you are going to be pruned. Okay? But then finally we see here that we are the branches. Say that with me. We are the branches. Now, as Christ's disciples, we are commanded to do one thing. Okay? As Christ's disciples, we are commanded to do one thing, and if we do this one thing, we will produce fruit. Jesus said in verse 4, remain in me. What does Jesus say? Remain in me. That's the one thing that we are commanded to do. We are commanded to remain in Him. And if we remain in Him, we will bear fruit. I mean, even as a branch cannot bear fruit if it doesn't remain on the vine, neither can we bear spiritual fruit if we don't remain in Christ. Jesus goes on to say, verse 5 of John 15. Again, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If, it's conditional, if a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, we've already seen how a Christian can be connected to Christ, but then disconnect him or herself, becoming apart from Christ by walking away from Him, turning away from His Word and no longer doing His will. I know some Christians like that. Do you know Christians like that? And it breaks our heart to see that. Because some of them, man, they were just so excited in serving the Lord. And then for one reason or another, they return to the world. We know them. And we are to continue to pray for them. Because as long as there's breath in their body, there's hope that they're going to turn back and come back to Jesus. Amen? I mean, that's what we hope for. And so, yes, we know people like that. And we've seen that. And we know Christians like that. But let me make this clear. Just because there are times in your life where you are struggling in your faith, or maybe struggling with a certain sin in your life, does not mean that you have walked away from Christ and no longer remain in Him. Okay? It does not mean that. Now when it happens, and it happens to all of us, am I right, church? I mean, it happens to all of us. And when that happens, God may be doing some pruning in our lives that hurts. But He is not cutting us off and throwing us into the fire pile. He is merely preparing us to produce more fruit out of love for us. Jesus goes on to say in verse 8, He said, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now the fruit we bear is to bring glory to God, not to ourselves. Man, look at me. I am such a great Christian. Look at all the good things I do, you know. Look at me. It's not to bring glory to us. It is only to bring glory to the Father. Bearing fruit brings glory to God. And again, concerning false prophets, people claiming to be Christ followers but are not, Jesus said, by their fruit you're going to recognize them. You know who these people are. They claim to be a Christian. I mean, they write it on Facebook. But you look at their life and you know that, man, their fruit they're producing is nothing like Christ. And we know who they are. And if we can recognize who these people are, then it stands to reason that people can recognize us as disciples of Jesus by our fruit. Amen? By the fruit that we bear. So what does our fruit look like? Well, the Apostle Paul shows us different kinds of fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, he shows us the difference between bad fruit and good fruit. And so I want us to just turn over there. If you want to turn there, you can. Galatians chapter 5. In verses 19 through 21, first of all, he talks about the bad fruit. He said, the acts of the sinful nature, this is the bad fruit. Now, Paul, again, is writing to the Galatian church. And no doubt there are some within this church who are living just like this. And Paul said, and Jesus said, you can know them by their fruit. He said, but the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, remember, Paul's writing to the church. He's talking about some of them. And Paul said that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will be the branches that are cut off and thrown into the burn pile. But then he talks about the good fruit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this, joy, or probably love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit that we produce in our lives is the very characteristic of the vine. The very characteristic of the true vine. In other words, God wants His church to look like Jesus. That's what He wants. He wants us to look like Jesus. And God expects to see Jesus in us. He expects to see the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control in our lives. That's the fruit that we are to produce. And Jesus said that when we produce this kind of fruit, and when we produce it, people will know that we belong to Him. And then Paul goes on to say, Galatians 5, verse 24, he said, those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who are connected to the vine, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 6, that where we are crucified with Christ is when we were baptized into Christ. We crucified the old man of sin. So church, as long as we remain in Christ and His Word, we will produce fruit that will bring glory to God and souls to Jesus. Amen? That's what we'll do. So in conclusion, actually Ben already went to these three points, but I'm going to go to them again. What can we do to be more connected to Christ? What can we do? Number one, we need to go to God daily in prayer. Okay? Go to God daily in prayer. And this will help us to become more aware of God's presence in our lives throughout the day. And just share what's on your heart. I mean, God already knows. Tell him what your struggles and your concerns, and seek His strength to overcome whatever sin that you're dealing with. Man, talk to God about it. God already knows. And listen to the promptings of His Holy Spirit as He guides you throughout your life. And then secondly, man, read from God's Word every day. How many of you have a smartphone? Will you raise your hand if you have a smartphone? Okay. If you have a smartphone, then you have your Bible with you at all times. It's with you at all times. Whenever you have a few minutes in your day, you know, just kind of doing nothing, I mean, open up that Bible app and let God speak to you through His Word. And if you are, you know, dealing with a specific issue, in that same Bible app, you can just type in, man, depression. Just type in depression, click the search bar, and I mean, scriptures will just pop up. They'll talk about, man, those struggles and despondency and things like this, something that you just might need to hear that very day, something that's there. We need to remain in the Word of God. Amen? We've got to remain in the Word. And then thirdly, worship God regularly. It's hard for me to understand how one can claim to be truly connected to Christ and seldom gather with their fellow Christians and worship God. It's hard for me to fathom that. And the reason why it's so hard for me to fathom that, because I was once that person who just walked away. I know what that's like. I was that person, and when I just quit attending worship, I mean, it's been years ago now, but when I stopped attending worship, I was not truly connected to the vine anymore. In fact, I didn't think about spiritual things. Instead, I got caught up in things that were just so sinful in my life. They were just so sinful. And the pruning process, I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal. But God was saying, Fred, man, I'm not going to give up on you yet. I'm not cutting you off. But man, I am going to do some pruning. And you are not going to like it. But I'm going to prune you. Because, Fred, I know you can produce more fruit. Amen? You see, that's what God wants from us. And so the question that I want you to consider today is this, is simply, are you connected to the vine? Are you connected to Christ? Because that's what we are to be. We when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we were connected to Christ. But man, we've seen that we can walk away from that. So are you truly connected to Christ? I mean, God loves us so much. Do you believe that God loves you? I mean, God loves us so much. And He wants us to be with Him in heaven. In fact, Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 that God doesn't want anyone to perish. Nobody. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to Him in repentance. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. And I think this is exactly what Jesus is doing in John chapter 15. I mean, within just a few hours, Jesus is going to be hanging on a cross. And one of His disciples that Jesus had chosen had already walked away from Him. He had already walked away. And that, of course, was Judas. And Judas was out to betray Jesus. And I know that if the 11 are there, and they don't even really understand what's happening. But He says to the 11, He says, man, you are already clean. You are My disciples. You know, you've been faithful to Me. Unlike Judas, you have been faithful to Me. But remain. Don't leave Me now. Remain in Me. Now, on this very night, all the disciples, the Scripture says in the book of Matthew, that all the disciples left Him. As Jesus is being arrested and taken to be tried and then crucified, they all left Him. But you see, they all came back because they were connected to the vine. And as long as we remain connected to the vine, we will bear fruit. Amen? We will bear fruit. We're going to be singing this invitation song, and during this invitation song, again, it's just an opportunity for you to truly look within your own life, your own soul, and just ask the question, am I truly connected to Christ? Am I connected to His Word? Do I strive to grow, to become more like Jesus, to look more like Jesus? You know, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, you know, all those things there. And you know, and the thing is, we can look at those qualities, and every Christian here has those qualities. But we can grow more and more in those qualities. We can become more like Christ. And so that is our goal, that's our objective, to be more like Jesus. And as we sing this invitation song, if there's anything that we can do for you today to pray for you, to talk to you more about becoming a Christ, or just coming forward to be baptized, whatever that need is, we want you to come as together we stand and we sing.